Romans chapter 8, we've seen that it points out that we have certain freedoms in Christ. We have freedom from condemnation. There's no more judgment upon those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. We have freedom from defeat. We no longer have to listen to the enemy and to lead us into things that we know we shouldn't do. There's freedom from discouragement in the care that God has for us. And today we look at the fourth freedom in chapter 8, which is the freedom from fear. About 13 or 14 years ago, a situation arose in our lives which required Luann to go back to Michigan from our home in Nevada and to establish a home in Birmingham so the oldest, Chris, could graduate from high school. There were some family difficulties back here, and so she did that. In fact, she left out of Nevada with very little money and really no means to do that, but we trusted God. We had one car that was paid off, and we put in for a loan for that, and about halfway to Utah, we learned that the loan was approved, and that's the money that we use to refinance this car that was paid for, take a loan to pay for the expenses that were going to take place for the next couple of months. And even though we were going to be apart 6 to 8 weeks, I had no fear in our separation. I had no fear for her. I had no concern about as far as her being in Michigan and mine being in Nevada. We had perfect trust. I'd known this woman for many years, and our relationship is such that separation didn't bring about any type of concerns. It just was an inconvenience, but a necessity in our lives. And even though we were apart for that time, I was confident of my love for her and her love for me, and we did many things in knowing that the contact that we didn't have physically would be temporary, and that the support of what she was doing and why she was doing would strengthen our relationship. And so we had that commitment. And we did things to take care of our relationship during that time. We talked on the phone daily, as well as wrote emails, and it made the separation bearable until I would go back and spend the time with her, and we'd drive back to Michigan together after Chris's graduation, and in fact, shortly after the open house that she threw for her oldest son. Recently, last week, a good friend of mine, Willie Urich, his father passed away. Fred and Wilma, I love that, the fact that they're married together. Fred and Wilma. Fred, a believer in Jesus Christ, and has gone home to be with the Lord, and Wilma said, you know, this is just a short vacation until we get joined up together. Monday, got a phone call that Howard Stutz, the man that I've been visiting with brain cancer, you know, for the last couple of years in Fenton, went home with the Lord too, and to be, he got the ultimate healing and no longer confined to a hospital bed. And Becky, you know, full confident in that celebration we had of his life on Thursday, that, you know, it's a short separation till we go home and be joined forever. And Jim and Carol Goka were people, a couple in my church in Midland when I was up there for those years. And Jim Goka passed away, and Carol loved roosters. In fact, if you go to their house on M20, there was a rooster on a post on each side of the driveway. That's how you know what house it was. And one day I went to visit her after Jim had passed away some time, and the roosters were gone. It really kind of threw me a little bit because I didn't know where the house was. But I eventually found it. And Jim said, I'm just going to go ahead and get that mansion for us, and I'm going to put the roosters out front so you know exactly where it is. And shortly thereafter, a couple of years, Carol joined her husband for eternity in heaven. You know, it's somewhat the same way with our love for God and his love for us if we're in Christ. Right now, we are in a separation. We are in our true home is in heaven. We are aliens on this earth. Not aliens in the sense that we are green and have little antennas, but aliens, this is not our home. Our true home is in heaven with the Father. Our true home is with Jesus Christ, where he will illuminate. We will need no more sun because he will be the sun. And our time with him is not for a short time, but for all eternity. But the separation we have right now in itself causes suffering. Especially as believers in Christ, we will suffer in this time because Christians experience the same suffering that Christ did, rejection. We can lessen the suffering, though, if we can stand concretely on certain truths given to us in this passage of Scripture today. Even in suffering, we can see God's provision of care for us and his work in our lives. We see God's care in light of suffering. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to study it. And Lord, this has been a great journey through this letter that your servant Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And as we continue on, continue to illuminate our thoughts, may we see the truths that are there for us today. That which you wrote in Paul's heart to write to them is written to us as well. And so, Father, may we see that with anticipation and eyes full of wonder at your grace and love and mercy for us. And as we do it, we seek it in your Son's most powerful name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the sixth book in the New Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, grab one of the chair Bibles around you and turn to page 124 as we continue on our verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. A man once said, "I can face anything but the future and certain parts of the present and probably most of the past." That's true in our lives, too. We have certain difficulties facing things. None of us can face the past unless we understand the grace of God and the forgiveness that is there. None of us can face the present unless we know and are strengthened by the presence of God in our lives. And none of us can face the future unless we are certain of the love of God. So key. And Paul wrote to the church there in starting verse. Let's pick it up in verse 28, where we left off last week. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of the God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says that for those who have been called, God works all things together for good. We talked about that word last week. That's an inclusive word. Not some things, but all things. The good and the bad. In verse 29, that we see God's plan that all things work together for good. It's his plan to help us to become formed to the image of his Son, the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Pick it up, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? The word image used in that passage is translated from the Greek word icon. Now, we know icon now more of a modern term because it's on our desktops, that computer sent by the devil himself to irritate us on a daily basis. An icon is a representation, an exact representation of what is there. And it's a representation of a program we know that's inside the computer somewhere if we can ever get to it. If we click on, you can. I have some frustrations there. You probably see it coming out a little bit. But anyway, thank you very much, Clarence. But it's that image of Christ that believers are being transformed and conformed into. Scripture demonstrates for us that God is for us. God's for us. God is not some eternal being that is there just going, "Oh, Gary, you know, no relief whatsoever. You know, just every little thing." No, he's not like that. God's for us. Why? Because he created us. Why did he create us? He created us for relationship. God is for us. He's not against us. But he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Why? Because his Son was perfect. We need to understand his plan, and we keep wanting to conform God to the image that we have for him. And it usually involves a white beard and a little red hat that goes on with bells going on that just give us whatever we want. That's not God. God is for us. Before the creation of the world, we were called. Nowhere are we taught that God predestines people to be eternally condemned. In fact, the Bible says that all men are called to repentance. Now, I've been told, I've heard along the way that, you know, to not explain predestination is to ignore part of God's word, but trying to explain it, you can lose your mind. It's a healthy balance in there that we have to understand that God calls people. God has his elect. But all men are called to repentance. So there is some way that all men can be conformed to the image of a son. But certain people are called. They will be transformed. They will be used by God. Maybe it'll reach those people that are not called that can be called. I don't know. But God calls. We were called. If we come to Christ, if you come to Jesus Christ, you're a called person. You know, we don't know who's called. And since they are going to be conformed to the image, all responsibility is to tell the truth about God's word, sharing through experience in our lives what God has done for us, that they might hear the good word. If they are condemned, it is because they have rejected Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only thing that keeps you out of heaven, is a rejection of Jesus Christ. Not any sin can keep you out. Sin keeps you out because you haven't accepted the Son who forgives sins. You forgive, are forgiven, and all those are wiped away. In fact, all the your past, present, and future sins are all wiped away. John 3:18, Jesus said, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's the key, people. That's the simplest question to ask and answer. Who am I in Christ? Have I accepted him? Not, I'm thinking about it. I'm really, really close. You know the phrase, you either a saint or an ain't. There's no middle ground there. And it's a decision for each and every one of us to make. And it's our decision alone. And we cannot, I don't care when you get before God, if you've not chosen Jesus Christ, you can't blame anybody in your life. I talk to people sometimes. I said, you know what, I don't want to go to church because they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Then I say, then be the difference. Be the one that's not. Be the example then. It's just, that's a cop-out, easy way to do that. We're called to fellowship, Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering together as some are prone to do. But all the more as you see the day approaching, come together. Why? Because the days are evil. You need the support of other people. You need the support of other people who have likeness in God and hope in God, because it is tough out there. It's not an easy world. We are not perceived as a good people. Why? Because people want to reject God. And by rejecting God, they'll reject his people. We as the church, the Jews, as believers in... It's important that we make that decision, the right decision, and come under Christ. But Scripture also says that God calls believers, Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Some people say, well, God looked far into the future and he saw those who would accept the Son, and those are the ones that he called. Well, if that's true, then how are all men called to repentance? I don't have the answer to that. I will tell you that right now. But I believe that all people can have an opportunity, and each person is going to be responsible for their own decision whether to accept or reject Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through the gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God does not leave it at being called. We are also justified, Paul says. To justify means to acquit, to declare as righteous. All the accusations, all the charges against us are dropped. We're acquitted of everything we've done. We are put into the right relationship with God because of the Son. But God does not stop there. Those he justified, Paul says, he also glorified. Don't feel very glorified at sometimes, do you? I don't. You know, I'm constantly reminded of my failings. I'm constantly reminded of my, I was telling my wife, you know, I want to lose weight this year. And I've been very consistent in saying that for like 10 years now. If anything, I'm consistent, you know. Maybe this is the year, the year I become inconsistent and actually lose weight. I don't know. I told her, you know, when James's mom got pregnant, I gained the weight for her, you know, and I haven't lost yet all my baby weight. But the Bible says we're glorified. Why? Because it's already done. The act of glorification has already taken place. Justification, sanctification, growing like Christ, glorification going on. We are already residents of heaven. We just haven't gotten there yet. Howard did this last week. Willie did this last week. Jim and Carol, they're there. Others that we know are there. We'll be there one day. This is the temporary wait that we have until we actually go home. But to be glorified, this means the believer has already been glorified. The revelation of this glory just awaits the coming of the Lord, or to go home through death. That's it. this world has no hold. There's nothing this world can offer me that would make me want to stick around any longer than God would want me to go home. Nothing. I don't care there's anything. Riches are temporary. Fame, forget that. That's ridiculous. Look at the people we look up to admire, or people admire. American Idol. Oh, Lord. Whose invention was that? I can't even get started on that one. Let's move right on then. In reality, if God is for us, who is against us? The reality is Satan and his demons. He is the ultimate enemy of God and wants to make life hell on earth for us. And he does a pretty good job at times too, doesn't he? Yes, amen to that, right? He does. Because we let him. He's a defeated foe. And all those who oppose God. But this pales in importance to the one that we put our faith in. You know, we can look at those things just, you know, all right. Yeah, it's irritating, but it's nothing of eternal value is going to pull me away from God and trust him. Yeah, this is hard, but I know who I am in Christ. The second point is this, that God defends us. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? We have all things in Christ. Everything that Christ did, we get credit as co-heirs in Christ. That's huge. I can't even comprehend that. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Satan, we know, right? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Take note of that, people. We may, in our own minds, just beat us down over things we've done 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. It's in the past. Give it up. God's forgiven it. Let yourself be forgiven, too. You can't go back and change it, right? I love people who come to Christ and say, well, do I go back and all the wrongs that I've done and do I deal with those? You know what? It's like the person went to the wise man and wanted to do these things. And he said, you know what? Give me that feather pillow that you've got. And the wise man ripped it open and a big windy day and he tossed it in the air and all these little feathers are flying all over the place, just creating a huge mess and going down the valley and on the mountain stuff. He said, okay, when you can gather all those, put them back in the pillow. See, you can't do that. You can't go back and correct everything. One thing I do, Paul says, is forgetting the past and moving on to the future, on forward. Don't continue on in that. You can't fix all the past. And when you get opportunities to, you can say, I'm sorry. I've said sorry to people I haven't seen in 35 years because I'm a different person than I was back then. They go, well, you weren't that bad. I said, well, I kind of feel I was. Just wanted to just let you know that. I might have been a little bit of a jerk. A thinner jerk, but I still know. The only real defense to the effects of this world is a life in Christ. That is the only thing that defeats that. All these, and take all that you focus in on the problem and focus in on the solution, people, which is God. God is the one who defends us. Revelation 12:10 says, before Satan was hurled down, which he still has access to the throne of God, he is accusing the brethren day and night before the throne of God. But God defends us through justification, Paul says. Without our being justified through Jesus' work on the cross, we would be helpless and defensive. And everything that Satan accuses us of would be true. Doesn't work that way, though. Actor Bruce Maraschino, who portrayed Jesus in the Matthew video series, he says, I believe every Christian should hang on a cross for at least 30 seconds. Their lives will never be the same. You see, Jesus hung on a cross so that we would not have to. He died for our sins that we only have to die to Christ, not die a physical death to the sins that we commit. God chose us, then he justifies us, so that even though we may be accused, none of the charges stick. Jesus is right there on, picture Satan here on this one, charging to the judge, the Father on the throne, and then Jesus right here saying, paid for that too, that's all paid for. You know, it can't stick. It's all done with. Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. Our responsibility is keeping that right relationship with Jesus, confessing those sins, so that we don't have to bear that burden anymore. We bear too much burdens. I almost said another word. Too much burdens that we're not required to carry around. And if we just give it up, how much lighter would we be? I'm kind of focused on this weight thing, aren't I? I don't know what it is. Honey, I told them our discussion yesterday that this is the year I'm going to lose weight. Like the last 10 years, I've said that. Let it go, brother. Thank you very much, Clarence. That's a word. That's a word of intercession for me. Let it go. Nobody knows. Anyway. Also, the Bible, I'm sorry, you guys are so good. I appreciate that. You're just right now praying the Spirit for me. He defends us also through intercession, Paul says. Last week we studied where the Spirit intercedes with our spirit, right, and prays with groaning so deep that we can't even understand. Here we see that Christ also intercedes for us, knowing full well the price he paid and the ones who have received the gifts of salvation. He's right there at the right hand of the Father in anticipating and acting on our behalf. I love that fact. He is omnipresent. He can be right there as well as right here. And he's defending us. He is saying, not guilty. I paid for that. My death on the cross covered that. And when he defends, there's no rebuttal on Satan's part, no deception, no trickery that will ever get past God. You know, sometimes read the book of Job. That's a very good book. In fact, it's considered the oldest book in Scripture altogether. Not Genesis. That's not the oldest book, but the book of Job. And Satan tries to get things past God, but God's too smart for that. Why? Because he's all knowledgeable. And Satan can't use his trickery to do that. And God is just, he's right, and he never allows, he can't be tricked up. And so it's covered. We're all covered there. Jesus represents us before the Father's throne, so we don't have to represent ourselves. I love a person who can talk better than I can and defend better than I can. What better person to put my faith into is than Jesus? There is none. None. That's it. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25, write that down. I didn't do a slide for that, but highlight that in your Bible. By the way, you know it's okay to highlight your Bible verses. Get those Crayola crayons, the yellow, and just highlight. You know, you're not going to be punished for that. You know, it's a good thing. Yes, hallelujah, that's right. I got some very colorful Bibles, you know, just, you want to find that one fast, color it so that it can be seen quickly. Third point, showing God's care and life of suffering is this, that God loves us. God loves us. There was a little boy who came from an extremely poor family, and he received no gifts at Christmas time, but he'd always would be peering into the window at Christmas time, and all the toys, his nose would be smashed against the glass, and just like, wow, oh man. Loved to have that. One day he was ran over by a car and taken to the hospital. And there this nurse, just compassionate nurse, brought him some toys, a little group of army men. And he goes, wow, there's no glass between them. You see, right now there's a glass between us and the place we want to be. There's a glass between our where we are right now and our true home. We know we can read, we can scripture, and friends have gone there, but we're not there yet. One day the glass is removed, and we're there. We're there in the eternity that we just hope for. Not hopeful that we get it, but hope that it comes soon. We live in a tense time, but while we're here, God loves us. 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Anybody here gone through tough times? Anybody? A few of you have. Very good. Huh? Anybody still here today? Great. Love that. I love the people who are awake during a message. We're still here, people. No matter how, and we think sometimes, how am I going to get through this? Guess what? You do. I even think, I've often thought, you know, if I ever got the diagnosis of cancer, I wonder how I'd react to that. Like, huh. I really wonder because, you know, I it's not that I want to go early, but I'm not afraid to go. I've sat with Howard for 2 years. No pain, can't move. Just like, you know, why am I still here? Maybe it's so I can meet him and get to know him, be encouraged by him. The peace of God that's there, the fact that he never complained about his condition. He never said, why me? Servant of God, served in his church, a deacon, considered an associate pastor. I mean, all these things he did for God, and why would God do that? Never heard that from him. Any type of terminal disease here on earth just gets its home. That's it. Okay, well, that's, I thought it was going to be a head-on car crash. May 9th, 1991, coming down a canyon in Mammoth, California, going home to Reno, and coming down and saw a car passing a car and put my brakes on, black eyes, spinning around, going down in this Cutlass Sierra rental car with all this equipment. Remember a big Mack truck behind me? Thought, okay. I just sat there. I sat there knowing there's nothing I could do. I told my our keyboard player, I said, you know, I'm really sorry what's going to happen. This is going to hurt. I don't remember saying that, but I guess I said it very calmly. I just kind of, it was like I just sat there just like, okay. And my world flashed before my eyes. My son, who was three at the time, thought, oh, I'm going to leave him without a dad, you know. And I thought, in a minute, I'm going to be in heaven. Impact happened. Darkness. Couldn't move. That man, heaven's awful small. And I really thought I'd be a lot brighter, you know. Survived that head-on car crash. Why? Because God wasn't done with me yet. Did I want the head-on car crash? I don't think so. But I was willing to accept it. I know there's nothing I can do. And when God calls me home, there's nothing I can do but go home. See, God loves us. And there's nothing, no matter what we do, no matter what, we cannot be separated from Christ's love. Nothing. I don't care what sin you commit. I don't care what attitude you had. I don't care what mistake you made. There is nothing that can separate you. Any of the examples above in that passage, 35 to 37, do not prove that God has forsaken us. Any difficulties that we've had, any problems, people can try to use those examples to in our lives against us, but not going to stick. Sure was true in the life of Job. What did Job's wife say in chapter 2 of Job? Curse God and die. You want to hear Job's response? He said, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? The rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? The Bible talks about. And he did not sin against God in what he said. Additionally, we cannot be separated from God's love. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me ask you a question. Satan, his demons, created or eternal? Created. He is a created finite being. He has a beginning. Only God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost do not have a beginning, do not have an end. Everything else is created, and nothing can separate us from God's love. Closing thoughts. God does not shelter us from difficulties because he needs those in our lives for us to grow in Christian character. It's for our spiritual growth. Just as difficult it is, a parent has to allow their children to make mistakes and to grow for them, we are never shunned because of our mistakes or abandoned by God in the process of our being sanctified in the likeness or image of Christ. In fact, God is right there all the time. God has called us according to his purpose to be conformed to the image of his Son. From those who he called, he justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. He's defending us, loving us, and fellowshipping with us through the whole process. And in him, the scripture says, that we are more than conquerors. In fact, we are super conquerors through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the power that you demonstrate in our lives, that you are there every step of the way. Lord, at times it just seems like we suffer alone, but that's just Satan's lie. You never leave us, nor do you forsake us. Your word tells us that, and we believe that. Father, would you surround those who are experiencing loss and difficulty? Would you give them your comfort and peace? For those that are on the mountaintop experience, will you allow them to enjoy the view? For those who are in the valley, would you allow them to learn the lesson and to learn of your grace, peace, and mercy? Father, thank you for who you are and who for you desire for us to be in your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Hey, this song is sung because it's a reason. It's a charge to us to go out there and be a difference in the world, right? Let's sing our closing song.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone.
Grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.